Lord for what He's done for us in so many different ways. Thank You for the inspiration, for the encouragement, you know, health and strength in our bodies. Thank You for all these different things. I want to turn to St. John, the 12th chapter, and the 21st verse. Look to the Lord to bless us here this morning. We'll start at the 20th verse and read that. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. This phrase here, Sir, we would see Jesus. We want to see Him. That is what I want to start off kind of giving us as a background to what we want to talk about this morning. And realizing that in all the things that we come in contact with in this life, we want to be able to see Jesus in these things. In 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, first verse, it says, And Paul, this is him speaking here, he says, And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In other words, he's saying here, the Apostle Paul is saying, that he wants to be able to look at the people, speak to the people, communicate with them, and he wants to be able to know that Jesus Christ is among them, is in them. And over here in St. John, the 12th chapter, 21st verse, it says, these men wanted to see Jesus. Now, physically, those men wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to get to talk to Him or something of that sort. But I'm thinking this morning how that what we want to do is to be able to see spiritually, to be able to perceive Jesus. And there is no doubt a need among people in general, in the world that we are in, to be able to look at our lives and for them to be able to see Jesus in our lives. Sir, we would see Jesus. Now, we don't know how to show Jesus out of our lives many times. We don't know what, in other words, how would we act if you want to show Jesus out of your life? All the different things that you come in contact with in life, you don't know what people are going to be, which people are going to be looking at you and what they're going to be perceiving out of your conduct. You don't know what they're going to be expecting of you. And so it's incumbent upon each one of us as Christians to live close enough to the Lord that as we go through our trials and through our tests, through the different things of life, that we're concentrating on, Lord, help us to be able to let You come out. If You're in us, help us to let it come out in the course of all these things that we're involved in. Turning over here now to 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Let's see, I'm going to read here at the, 4th chapter in the 17th verse. 2 Corinthians 4th chapter, 17th verse. It says, For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He says here, for our light affliction, in other words, the things that we endure here in this life, those things that are troublesome to us, those things that give us difficulties, and those things that we don't know how to deal with, those things that are a trial to us, look at those things, those light afflictions, and he terms them light, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In other words, these things that we are coming in contact with in this life that seem like they're such a bother to us, and they are a hindrance to us, they're something that is standing in our way of us accomplishing of what our purpose is here in life, all the things that we're involved in, and you know, things come up from time to time, and you get up of a day and you feel that you're going to accomplish this thing, and you go out and you start working at it, but then something pops up and hinders you, gives you difficulty, and when something stands in the way of us being able to accomplish what we desire, many times we get aggravated at the situation. We begin to be, we begin to be impatient with that situation. But it says here, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. That thing is working something for us. And it says, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In other words, the orientation of a Christian, of a saint of God, is to, Lord, help me to go through these things, face these things, to deal with the things that come against me in life. And Lord, help me to have an orientation to build up something spiritual in myself, something of you. He says here, these things, these troubles, these light afflictions that we come in contact with, they will work a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Then it says, while we look not at the things which are seen. See? All of these troubles and trials and problems and vexations and things that we face, while we look not at the things which are seen. In other words, we're not supposed to be looking at all those things. Our attention is not supposed to be put on all of those things that we face. To look at something means to put it into focus. You put your attention there, you turn your eyes there, you look at it, and you bring it into focus with your eyes. You focus on that thing. It has your attention. You can examine it closely. You want to see it clearly and plainly. Many times we are looking at the afflictions that we are facing in life. We pull them into focus. We analyze them. We try to get an understanding of them. And that's all we see. We're focused on the things which are seen. But the scripture is telling us, but we don't want to focus on the things that are troubling us. We don't want to focus on the vexations of life.
Amen.
We don't want to focus on the reversals.
Amen.
The things that are aggravating and stir that carnal man inside. When you begin to feel stirred up inside, aggravated inside, you know you're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking at the wrong thing or the wrong person. You should be looking at Christ. You should have your attention on, Lord, help me to use this thing that's in front of me to build something of eternal worth, something of eternal value in myself. People today are looking at the afflictions and they're spending time trying to avoid the troubles and trials and afflictions of life, seeking pleasure, seeking all kinds of diversions and recreations. People do things just to try to get their attention off of all that stuff in front of them. Those things that are aggravating. But you know, we should turn our attention to the things which are not seen. In other words, use our mind. We use our eyes and our normal understanding to relate to this physical world around about us. And we try to use our logic and figure things out. But you know, you never gain what you need spiritually by looking with your carnal eyes, the temporal eyes, and figuring out with your mind. But to gain things spiritually from the Lord, we have to come to a place of being able to exercise a faith in God. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." And then it says, "the evidence of things not seen." Yes. There are some things that we desire in life, but if we look at the things which are seen, our faith will never reach out and take hold. But we have to come to a place of realizing that a God has a power that's above and beyond all temporal things that we see.
Amen.
And so when we realize that God's power is above all of that, it can go beyond it, all of our perceptions. Another place says something about Him able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That helps us to realize that God works in a realm that is not physical in nature.
Amen.
And so that's what we want to put our attention on. Lord, help us to put our attention on things above. Help us to put our attention on the spiritual things. In other words, as we come into contact with something, you know, I'm thinking about some people are moved to violence because of that temper thing working within them. And why are they moved to violence? It's because they're looking only at that thing in front of them. But we want to take that thing which is in front of us and turn it and begin to look inside and say, "Lord, thank you. That's okay. Thank you." We want to take a look at the thing which is affecting us and then look inside and say, "Lord, what is it you've got for me in this thing? I realize that you want to work something in me." Do you know, each one of us needs to ask the Lord, "Lord, what are you wanting to do with my life?" You know, God, I believe, has a plan for every one of our lives. If we submit ourselves to God and we decided to live for God and turn away from a life of sin and evil and wickedness and all of that, and say, "Well, Lord, I'm not going to go through here seeking my own way," we ought to begin to ask the Lord, "Lord, what do you have for me? What are you trying to prepare me for? How are you wanting to use me in amongst all the people that I come in contact with?" And so, all the things that come to you, you ought to be able to see, "Lord, you're using this to make something of me."
Yes, thank the Lord.
There is a saying that when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. In other words, lemons, those things that are sour, sometimes they're so sour it seems like they turn your jaw inside out or something. Just really sour. And just think of the first man maybe that tasted a lemon. He probably looked at it and threw it away. But then another man got an idea, if I put a little something else with it, if I can have some honey to put with it, something sweet to put with it, some water to dilute it with, you know, this might go down just all right. And so it is with the things that come our way in life. Don't look at it from the standpoint of, "How can I avoid it? How can I discard it? How can I get rid of it? How can I make it so that this thing never affects me ever again?" But Lord, help me to know how to put something with it. Help me to see your plan. Help me to see God in everything. Another saying maybe that we've heard is that everything goes better with God. If you can see God in all the things in your life, it'll make the whole thing a lot more tolerable. You won't be running from situations, but you'll be seeing God in them and then submitting yourself to those different situations. So while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. God is wanting to work something special in us. In 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Don't think it strange. You know, the enemy of our soul, he wants to give us a hard time. Those three Hebrew children, you know, they got put in a furnace of fire back in Daniel. You know anybody that wants to go into a furnace of fire?
No.
No one. Everybody would like to avoid that. But are you willing to avoid the furnace of fire, the difficulties and the hard troubles and vexing things of life at the expense of your soul? If God is working in those things, would you want to jump out of them somehow or other, avoid them, side, get off on the side and say, "Well, I found a way of escape." You know, let the Lord make the way of escape for you. Endure the trials. Endure the fiery trials. And realize that God is doing something special for you. It's not some strange occurrence. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Know that God has something going on in your life. And then look for Him to let things come your way that know how to dig around you, how to work on you. Those things just pull out what, well, we like them to pull out the best, but some things pull out the worst in us. But when it starts pulling out the worst, then you know what? You can be, in a way, maybe you're surprised at that, some of the things that come out in the midst of the trial. But don't be discouraged at it. Say, "Lord, this thing came up, and you're making something of me. You've shown me myself. I didn't know I had it in me. I was in that trial." Amen. Somebody cut in front of me on the freeway, and it seemed like I had some choice words for them. Some things that I wouldn't want to tell you. And I don't want you to hear me utter. See? The Lord let that trial come to bring that out of you. You didn't know it was in you, maybe. You thought everything was going well and you love everybody and you have forgiveness like we were talking about last Sunday. You have all the graces of God upon you. You have patience and you have this. But this man cut in front of you and you just seem like just lost all your grace, lost all your patience. You don't have much love for him, you know. And so these things come to mind. But you know what? Take that. "Lord, you're working something here. Lord, you know that feeling that came up inside. I know that it came up for a reason, and I'm going to let it work on me. See you in it. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer." Go to God in prayer and get that grace that you need. "Lord, that the next man that cuts in front of me, I can just step on the brake, back off a ways from him. I don't have to just pull right up behind him and tailgate him, you know. Flash my lights maybe and let him know that I'm aggravated. No, I can back off, let him go, and then go on my way also. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings." You know that Christ endured some of these very same types of things. In other words, things that were aggravating, things that tried his patience. He had to deal with people that were seem like slow of understanding. You know, sometimes we try to deal with people and we talk to them and we try to explain things to them and we teach them and they just seem so slow of coming around and understanding. And sometimes we have a tendency to get impatient. But you know, no, we need patience. Lord, give us that patience. You're making something of us. that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. The life of a Christian, he enables us to go through everything, every difficulty, every trouble, every trial, and not start... The object is to go through all these things and not to become bitter and angry and frustrated and impatient with all these people and troubles around about us. But we want to go through these things and see God is making something out of us. Amen. Happy. Be happy. Looking not at the things which are seen. Amen. Back over here in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, 18th verse. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we are beholding the glory of the Lord, see, beholding His glory,
yes.
Beholding His life of suffering and hardship and self-denial, His life of dedication to His Father to do His Father's work, His life of dedication to a godly, pure, holy life and to live that kind of an example here on the earth when many things were, you might say, giving Him reasons and excuses to fall somewhat short of that. But while we behold Him and then begin to see Him as a possibly being in us,
yes,
and then we can see that God has something special for us.
Yes.
Something beyond what we ever conceived in the past. God wants to make of us that godly, that pure, that holy, that person that has no guile, no malice, no hatred, no anger, no frustration and strife at the things that come our way in life. No resistance to His plan and His working with us. While we get a vision of Jesus Christ on the cross suffering for us,
yes,
we can see that He can do that with us.
Amen.
And then we begin to be changed from this carnal glory of looking just at the outward man. You know, the people that don't know Christ, that's all they know is the glory of the outward man, meaning how strong I am, how beautiful I am, my wonderful physical features, you know, measured according to the way people around us may measure them, you know, how well I'm dressed, you know. All of these things, that's the carnal beauty. Those are the things that people that don't know Christ, that's what they look at. That's what matters to them. And so they're constantly striving to be, hold up that kind of an image to those around about them. But when you know Christ, you can be transformed. You can get a vision of being transformed from that carnal, that temporal glory of how smart I am and how beautiful I am and how well I'm dressed and all of that. You can be transformed to see a spiritual glory coming out of yourself. We are transformed, we are changed into the image of Christ as we look on Him, not on the things that are going on around about us, but as we look on Him and look on His image, then we can be transformed, changed into that image that Jesus Christ has for us. From this carnal temporal glory to a spiritual glory. God has all of these things for us. Now, I'm going to pick up another little scripture that some of us know. Oh, we can let the Lord make these things, these scriptures, good for us. My brethren, James 1 and 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in to divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It says, count it all joy when you fall in. When you find yourself with temptations all around about you. You know, a temptation makes you uncomfortable. It puts you under pressure. On one hand, you know that there is something here that you should not do, you should not be involved in, you know it. But then, on the other hand, there is this thing that's pulling after you, saying, do it, try it. And it makes you feel uncomfortable, makes you feel bad inside. And the temptation from the devil is to say, go ahead. Yield. Do it. It's good. It's going to feel good. But you know, God says, no. But at the same time, I'm saying no. I don't have to dwell on all the difficulty of that trial, that temptation. I don't have to look at it with a temporal carnal eye and see, so to speak, see what the devil is painting in front of me, and then at the same time feel the pain that says, see, you can't enjoy this. You can't do this. That as though it's something wonderful, something blessed, something good that you cannot have. That's the way the devil wants to make you think of things.
Yeah.
See this good thing? It's a temptation. It's bad. Really going to work bad for you. But it makes you whatever. No, we can turn away from that thing.
Praise the Lord.
And while we turn away, we can have that joy in our heart.
Yeah.
To know that God saw fit to let me endure that temptation.
Yeah.
And to know that He brought it because there was something inside of me that He wanted me to show that I had victory in this thing, right in the middle of it. So that I can count right. Sister Ruth oftentimes mentioned about counting right. You know, when things begin to go wrong in your life, one thing after another, and you're wanting to accomplish many things in life. You're wanting to find a good companion. You're wanting to find a good job. And maybe you're having hardships in one place or other in your life. Things are not going your way. Amen. Not going my way. Definitely not going my way. But I can count it all joy.
Yeah.
I can see the purpose that God is working in my life. Count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of troubles and trials and temptations. Be fortified against everything that the enemy wants to bring your way. Jesus Christ was tempted once upon a time. He was tempted.
Yeah.
Let's read this over here in St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. First verse. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and nights, he was afterward and hungry. He was hungry.
Yeah.
And when the tempter came to Him, He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But He answered and said, it is written. You know, the man was hungry. He was hungry. Hunger is a normal thing for humans to have when you haven't eaten. He was hungry, but yet He was able to see that I don't have to have bread now because the enemy is involved in this thing. And I don't have to turn these stones to bread just because He's tempting me and I'm hungry. But He says, my mind is elsewhere. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
In other words, you see, His mind was not on the scene around about Him.
Yeah.
His mind was on spiritual things and perceiving that the life the spiritual life within him was not something that just depended upon the bread, something feeding his body. Our souls can be alive and well and progressing and drawing closer to God, being fed and inspired by God in the midst of any kind of physical hardship. Then it says, and the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple up high, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. The devil saying, listen, I want you to put you up here, see? And then I want you to prove your power, that you can fall from all the way up here, clear to the bottom, to the ground, and nothing's going to hurt you. And he said, Jesus said, and thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Amen.
Jesus knew what power he had.
Yes.
You know, the devil comes to us sometimes and he puts in front of us a temptation like this. You can prove what you can do.
Yes.
You can put the temptation right there. And you can show anybody that you don't have to be bothered with it. You don't have to yield to it. But don't put yourself in a place where you're going to be tempted. You cannot take fire into your bosom and not be burned. Young men, you can't spend time hugging in close physical contact with a young lady and think that somehow it ain't going to have no effect on you. It's going to have an effect.
Yes.
And it won't be a good effect spiritually. See? And a lot of people think, oh, I can deal with this.
Yeah.
You can't deal with very much.
Amen.
In your own power, in your own thoughts, there's a whole lot of things that you're not strong enough to deal with.
Amen.
But when you're able to say, Lord, I know I'm weak in this area. See? And so I'm going to turn and hightail it out of here. Goodbye. I don't go to a party when all kinds of things are going on in that party and know that, you know, what am I going to do? Stand in here and prove to them that I don't have to yield? No. I don't have to be there. Period. That's a far stronger position spiritually. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showing him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, Jesus came because he wanted to gain the souls of the men of the world.
Yes.
He wanted to have an influence on people's lives in that generation of time and throughout all generations of time. So this was a temptation. Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan. Get out of the way. Get behind me. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Amen.
Sometimes the devil comes to us and gives us a vision of people being subject to us, of power, of authority being granted to us. See? We come. The devil comes with those kinds of temptations to us, that this is in your hands. The glory. Look at the image that you're going to have. Look how, you know, how big a shot you're going to be. And Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I will not enter into a place where I am worshiping myself. I'm worshiping you, devil. No, I'm not going to do that. Now I want to close here. this morning. Proverbs 29 and 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. When you do not have a vision of what God is wanting to do with you in this life, when your vision simply stops at what you can see, the things that seem to be affecting you and giving you a hard time, if that's all you can see, this tells me that you're almost doomed to a spiritual failure. Because you're looking at the wrong thing. You're holding a focus on the things that are temporal, the things that are just here in this time world. You've got your attention on those things that are annoying to you and bothering you, bugging you, and giving you a hard time and hindering you from accomplishing what you want to accomplish. And if that's all you can see, you're doomed to perish. This scripture encourages us not to stop there.
Amen.
Though no doubt every one of us has been found in that place at some time or other. But don't stop there. Lord, give us a vision. Help us, Lord, to be able to see where you are in all of the things that come our way in life. Help us, Lord, fortify us with a vision, something that enables us to have strength in the midst of, in the face of, every opposition of the devil. Everything he brings our way that he wants to turn us around and turn us away from God with, we want to be fortified with our vision, our focus on God and God alone. That no matter what it is, devil, you can't throw anything at me that's going to get my attention to waver, get me sidetracked. You know, devil, if he can get your attention focused over here on the wrong thing for a little period of time, he can get your soul. Get you, you know, as if, you know, so many times people get into things in life and because of the temptation and situation and the where their emotions and their feelings and all of this, because of all those conditions that are having a bearing upon them at that time, it seems like this thing is the most important thing on the face of the earth. Esau thought that the bowl of soup seemed to be, that's the most important thing right now. But I believe he found out later on that that wasn't the most important thing.
That's right.
And he lost the most important thing because all he could see was in front of his face. You know, a lot of things that you're looking at are not what they appear to be. A grandmother said once upon a time, I believe, she said, everything that glitters ain't gold. You know, the devil, he makes things look like it's gold, most important thing. Attain to this, get a hold of this, do this. But you'll find many times it's, my saying is, it's no more than a mouthful of ashes. You think you're getting gold and you might as well take a whole spoonful of just ashes out of the fire and you stick them in your mouth and think you got some. You don't have a thing, anything worthwhile. But where there is no vision, if you can't see, you'll perish. You'll perish. So I want to encourage us. Ask the Lord, Lord, help me to see. Help me to see things the way you see them. The things that come my way in life, Lord, help me to not look at those things alone, but help me to see you all around about me, and to see the plan that you're working for me in my life. You're working a plan.
Yeah.
And so all of these different things that you allow to come my way, they're all to work good.
Yeah.
Suffering, affliction, see, pain, reverses. Seem like reverses of fortune. People call it bad luck. You know, so you say bad luck, but you know what? God's got his hand in all those things.
Yeah.
It may seem like bad luck to you, but it may be a way that God has of doing something good.
Yeah.
Back in the Old Testament time, Joseph ran into that.
Yeah.
He was able to see, you know what? God had a plan here.
Yes.
By my being in this unfortunate circumstance, situation, God had a plan to save many people's lives.
Yes.
He did much good because of what one man suffered.
Yes.
Willing to suffer and able to find a better way out of it. You know, the Lord can help us to go through the things that He's going to have us face, and we don't have to be grumbling and grousing about it and telling everybody every negative thing that came up about the situation that I'm enduring. You know, God has a better way for us.
Yes.
Amen. Appreciate your time.